a little trivia for you. Did you know John Lennon had a bout of laryngitis when he sang that song with the Beatles? Shake It Up, Baby. They did not write that song, by the way. That was a song they did not write. It was one of their earlier hits, however. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. Everything you ever want to know about anything, right here. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, it is the last day of the month, July 31st on a Monday, and lots to talk about. We are going to be with Jack Hubbard in a few minutes of the Center for Environment and Welfare, and we are going to talk about what he calls charity pirates. He says the national ASPCA, that's the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, and the National Humane Society are not what they appear to be. They are not a dog in sheep's clothing, as they say. So stay tuned for that. And Hunter Biden's ex-colleague, Devin Archer, is beginning his closed-door testimony as we speak on the role of Joe Biden in his son's overseas criminal affairs. All this while the Department of Justice tries to get Archer into prison. That's a real soap opera. We're going to talk about that as well. And we are going to continue a look at how one of the 20th century's greatest political voices, Ayn Rand, predicted America's current political mess, crisis. So stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, on Friday we gave you the top 10 domestic vacation spots people were going to. We are going to give you today the top 10 worldwide vacation vistas that people are flocking to this summer. So stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. So I guess this closed-door session with Devin Archer is now beginning. So here's the question. Who is Devin Archer? Devin Archer is Hunter Biden's longtime buddy and business associate. He's testifying today, reportedly, to share intimate details about foreign ventures that he worked on and the level at which President Biden was involved. He is expected to say that Biden met with dozens of Hunter Biden's business associates while serving as vice president between 2009 and 2017. He will reportedly also say that Hunter would specifically introduce his father to foreign business partners or prospective investors to get them to hand over the money. Archer's intimate knowledge of the business arrangement comes after years of working closely with Hunter Biden, including they worked together on the board of the Burisma energy company in the Ukraine. And that began in 2014. Now, Archer also co-founded an investment firm alongside Hunter Biden and John Kerry's stepson. So even John Kerry is involved in it. At least his stepson is. His stepson is Christopher Hines. John Kerry married whatever her name is, the heir to the Hines ketchup company. That's why he gets to fly all over the world and talk about climate energy, green energy, because he gets to get on a private plane that his wife bought for him as a toy. So it should be an interesting discussion. Now, in the meantime, several Republicans, at least five of them in the House, have called on lawmakers currently enjoying a little recess to come back to the Capitol Hill building after the Department of Justice asked Devin Archer, who we were just talking about, to surrender to prison. They want him to get the heck into prison. They don't want him to talk. They get him into the hoosegow. Maybe he won't say too much. Maybe we can threaten him. So this is why I call it a soap opera. Anything to stifle what really happened.
You know, I think they better protect the guy.
That's another thing. You know, he's been in hiding. Did you know that?
He can wind up as one of Clinton's ex-friends, you know?
Yeah. He has been in hiding. So he realizes he's what's the word? A rare and maybe short-lived commodity. Now, you got to remember that he thinks that Joe and Hunter put the squeeze, basically hung him out to dry, threw him under the bus.
It's to my understanding they're going to get with him today, and then they're going to release the transcript.
Right. It's closed-door testimony, supposedly starting at 10 o'clock, so maybe been going on for a few minutes now. And, yes, they will supposedly, you know, release. There's always going to be stuff they can't release, now, you know, classified info, that kind of thing.
You watch, the left is going to say, oh, it's all hearsay. That doesn't mean nothing. These are the same people that did two impeachments on hearsay.
That's right.
But that was okay.
Yeah, that was okay. In fact, the first one was directly related to this. And that was the Ukraine $1 billion that they weren't going to get unless they fired the prosecutor that was prosecuting the Burisma Energy Company that good old Hunter was a board member of. Remember that? Remember Joe Biden saying, I told them they wouldn't get the $1 billion unless they fired the prosecutor. He says it on a video. We got it on there. And son of a bee, they fired him. He's so proud of that. Yet he doesn't know anything about his son's holdings. He doesn't know anything. What? My son is where? What? I know nothing about this. No, I never talked to him. Yes, he's been on the plane with me to the Ukraine. No, we never talk business. Never. I thought he was on a package tour. I was just getting him over there so he could get on the bus. There's a Gray Line bus tour in Kyiv. I mean, it's so stupid. Everybody knows that they're in this up to their up to, as they say, up to their ankles, although they fell in head first. So anyway, here's what Matt Gaetz of Florida says. The Department of Justice, he's a Republican from Florida, he said the DOJ is now actively committing the crime of obstructing a congressional investigation. If Devin Archer is not in the witness chair today, we better haul every SOB at the DOJ before Congress every day to make them pay for this. So he wants a bunch of Republicans to come back and hold the Department of Justice accountable. I'm not exactly sure how they're going to do that. You see, the puppeteer is controlling the puppets, right? And in this case, the puppeteer happens to be the Department of Justice, and this is why after about 5 years, you don't have anything going on Hunter Biden, except a plea deal that fell apart. So there you go. We'll just watch that. Maybe if anything comes up during the show,
I'll keep an eye on it.
You will keep an eye on it. Thank you, sir. In the meantime, did you hear about Rand Paul? He is officially doing a criminal referral of Fauci. Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, he's a Republican, announced an official criminal referral to the Department of Justice regarding Dr. Anthony Fauci. Rand Paul pointed to an email in 2020 in which Fauci detailed a call with British medical researcher Jeremy Farrar. According to Fauci, those on the task force call said there were mutations in the COVID virus that would be most unusual to have evolved naturally. In other words, it looked like it came from the lab in Wuhan. They got him, they got him saying that. Fauci wrote the following: the suspicion was heightened by the fact that scientists in Wuhan University are known to have been working on gain-of-function experiments to determine the molecular mechanisms associated with bat viruses adapting to human infection, and the outbreak originated in Wuhan. So Fauci knew, despite all of the things that he said, that there was nothing going on at the lab and that it was done in a wet market outside of the lab. So this is what Rand Paul says about that. This directly contradicts everything he, Fauci, said in committee hearings to me, denying absolutely that they funded any gain of function, and it's absolutely a lie. That's why I sent an official criminal referral to the Department of Justice. Well, don't hold your breath on that one, right? the Department of Justice will do to Fauci what they are doing to Hunter Biden.
Take their time.
Which is take their sweet time.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll all be celebrating a few more birthdays while that goes on. So, anyway, we're going to take our break. And we're going to talk about something I think is very important. Charity pirates. The ASPCA and the Humane Society on a national level. So stay tuned for that.
Guess you better slow than Mustang down.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
On a Monday, Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for being with us. We are delighted to have Jack Hubbard join us. He is the Executive Director of the Center for the Environment and Welfare. We're going to talk about the center's campaign to basically expose the National ASPCA, the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, and the National Humane Society for basically for hoarding money in the Caribbean. They are not perhaps what they appear to be. Jack, welcome to Freedom Works.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. You know, these were two things that a lot of people hold dear to their heart. Welfare of animals. We all love animals. I've always said I think more tears are shed for the death of a pet than for a human. And the National ASPCA and the Humane Society, lots of people contribute to them, but perhaps they are not what they appear to be. So tell us a little bit about your center's campaign to expose them.
Absolutely. So we had our researchers dig into the publicly available tax returns that are posted by both organizations. And what we found is beyond disturbing and frankly upsetting to animal lovers and donors to these organizations. Countless people in this country contribute hundreds of millions of dollars every single year to help dogs and cats. And most people, according to our polling, believe that these two groups run local shelters. They don't. They're unaffiliated with local shelters. And when we dug into the tax returns, we uncovered that the ASPCA, which is headquartered in New York City, is sitting on $300 million of investments while they're urgently begging for your money. They have $11 million in offshore accounts, and they pay their CEO nearly $1 million a year. The Humane Society, different name but similar story, doesn't run hands-on pet shelters. And you look at their organization, and they have $59 million in offshore accounts. and they're paying their CEO nearly $500,000 a year. So the word we're trying to get out to everybody who loves animals and loves pets is if you really want to help cats and dogs, give to your local shelter, because those people, many of whom are often volunteers in the shelter, are the ones who are on the front line of helping cats and dogs in your neighborhood, not necessarily these two groups.
Yeah, and I think most people do not realize there is not a direct connection between the local ASPCAs and the local humane societies. Now, let me ask you this, Jack. Are the national these two national organizations, are they doing anything illegal?
You know, I don't have evidence that they're doing anything illegal. What I do think is that they are not meeting the spirit and expectations of, you know, what donors and the public think they're doing. And, you know, when you actually even dig further, the ASPCA is only contributing 2% of its budget to local shelters. The Humane Society is only contributing 1% of its budget to local shelters. So there's a huge disconnect between expectations and reality. And the most impactful thing that we can probably do is educate donors and animal advocates to vote with their money, vote with their feet, and support the organizations that are really doing the great work in the local communities.
I myself do contribute to our local, well, Pinellas County Humane Society. Gotten some animals from them, and I think they do wonderful work. And I think most of the local humane societies do the same. I would suspect the ASPCAs or whatever locally are doing good work as well. But, you know, is this not something that happens to a lot of national organizations? The lure of easy money that comes in, you know, and the low percentage of that money that's actually used for the purposes people believe they will be used for. I mean, it's not just these two organizations, right?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, it is part of a bigger trend that we see organizations plowing huge percentages of their donor contributions into fundraising, as opposed to helping, you know, animals or the constituency that, you know, they identify. High executive salaries are also a trend. In some ways, some of the big charities have really become big business in a way, and they operate that way. What we're also seeing that's a little different with the Humane Society and the ASPCA, which perhaps is a conversation for a different day, but in addition to that, you know, the financial use of funds, which we don't like, we've also seen the organizations become radicalized and almost taken over by a group of people who have an agenda that is more focused and very focused on food. And we see these organizations raising a lot of money with images of cats and dogs, and yet then we see them on Capitol Hill targeting America's farmers, pushing a vegan agenda, trying to say that you can't raise animals in a certain way, and you're sitting there scratching your head going, well, wait a minute. I thought this was the cat and dog organization. Why are these folks on Capitol Hill claiming that farmers are driving, you know, what they claim climate change, and that we need to shut down animal farms because it's destroying the planet? And then you see what's actually happening, which is that the CEO of the Humane Society of the United States is a former lawyer, PETA, the group that believes eating a hamburger is murder, right? So not only do you have this questionable financial use, but you have this left-wing agenda that's targeting food choice, our food supply chain, and targeting farmers. So I tell people, do your research. So you, number one, get your money to helping cats and dogs, and number two, you don't make a mistake in funding what is a movement that I think most Americans don't agree with.
We're talking with Jack Hubbard. He is the executive director for the Environment and Welfare, I should say for Environment and Welfare, and they have a campaign to expose the ASPCA, the National ASPCA, and the National Humane Society for hoarding money in the Caribbean and apparently for having an agenda that may be not quite exactly what they purport it to be. So tell us a little bit about, Jack, about the money going into the Caribbean. What are they doing? They're making large amounts of money, or they're just keeping it away from the tax man, or what's going on with that?
Yeah, you know, there are certainly some tax incentives, which, you know, frankly are permissible and legal by law to park your money in the Caribbean, you know, to avoid certain taxes. And these groups, you know, will tell you, in fact, you know, there's even a website out there that they've put out to, you know, respond to the accusations we've made. They don't say any of them are false. What they say is all of our investments are legal. And as you know, corporations often engage in this type of behavior because there are legal strategies that people use to minimize tax burdens. Our concern is that ethically, we don't think that that's right, that a charity should be parking that much money offshore. It raises eyebrows for donors who go, well, why is this money being held offshore if your primary mission is to help animals, in some cases in the United States? And it also raises the question of, if you're sending out all of these urgent appeals saying, I need the general public and Americans to contribute to help the dog, and if you don't make a contribution today, an animal's going to die, I think it's a little fraudulent and dishonest to be running with that messaging on television and direct mail pieces when a group like the ASPCA is sitting on $300 million in investments. So we have essentially challenged the organizations, and specifically the ASPCA, that we are demanding that they cut their CEO's salary in half and that they immediately distribute and deploy their $300 million of investments to local shelters so that we can get the money in the hands of the local shelter directors who need it desperately. And to date, they have failed to respond to that challenge.
Do you think we need a federal investigation of both organizations?
I think lawmakers should definitely dig in and take a closer look at these organizations and how they're raising money, because I just don't see how you're a charity and keep that much money on the sidelines while a million cats and dogs are euthanized in this country. You know, set aside paying CEOs nearly $1 million a year, it definitely warrants scrutiny, and it warrants someone taking a look at it. And I do think the word's getting out there. I've heard from a lot of people, both in the media, lawmakers, staffers, who are saying, we had no idea. And the group that is most upset about this in many ways is actually the local shelter directors, because they're competing against these national behemoths, and it's David versus Goliath. These organizations are running television ads, mailing to their donors, and vacuuming money out of the local communities as a result of this confusion. And unfortunately, the shelter directors, the shelter staff, and the animals in many cases in local communities get the short end of the stick.
Yeah. My colleague Ed Davis has a question, I think.
I was just wondering, Jack, where do the bulk of their donations come from? Is it from the public or the private sector?
You know, it's a combination of a few different areas. Number one, they do both enjoy very broad support from the public and small dollar donations. Direct mail, you've seen the television commercial with Sarah McLachlan, online fundraising. So they are definitely a fundraising machine. In fact, I sometimes like to refer to them as factory fundraisers, because they've really turned this into like a huge churning business model. They also get a significant amount of money from foundations and very wealthy people. Some of these folks are misguided and don't understand who the organization truly is. And then there's another wing of people, and I touched on their anti-farmer food agenda, and both groups tend to be at the center of a lot of, you know, proposals and laws and lobbying targeting farmers. We have seen an increase in some very wealthy folks, Silicon Valley, New York City, writing seven-figure checks to quote-unquote animal rights organizations in an attempt to target people who are raising animals for food.
Wow.
So that's something we're tracking. We're seeing more and more of that activity.
So these local chapters are actually, like you're saying, almost in a combat, maybe, with the national organization, let's say like a local humane society. Do they need to say something and say, you know, rather than send your money to the National Humane Society or ASPCA, your dollars are better spent directly with us? But then maybe they don't want to get into a pecking contest.
Yeah, they tend to be so underfunded and so focused on the animals, it's tough for them to compete. CBS did a great expose on this, believe it or not, and they interviewed a shelter director. And the shelter director was very blunt and direct, and he basically said, we don't get help from these organizations. These organizations aren't who they say they are, and I'm competing with them every day, and I've got a shelter full of animals that need help and need help now, and the national charities aren't here helping me.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's anyone more credible than someone like that who's on the front lines of caring for animals in a local community to come out and say, hey, this is wrong. And I mean, if we can serve as the spark to get the word out, to empower these folks to speak up, it's going to help a lot of animals.
I'll tell you, I've been so soured by charities these days that every now and then when I go to the grocery store, I'll pick up an extra bag of dog food and dog treats and drop it off at the shelter.
Yep.
Because you know that they're going to get it then.
Yeah. So you've got this TV ad going, and is a petition, is that right?
That's right, yeah. More than 80,000 people have signed the Change.org petition demanding the organizations distribute their investments and cut executive salaries. We have television and digital ads running nationally. Neither group is pleased with our campaign, as you can imagine. But to date, there really hasn't been any substantive response to what we're sharing, because all of the information we're sharing is direct from their tax returns. And it is my belief that they don't want their donors to know this information, because our polling suggests that as soon as the public finds out that these groups have these huge executive salaries, millions of dollars sitting in investments and giving only 1 or 2% to local shelters, their donors are really turned off.
Yeah.
So we believe sunlight is the best disinfectant, and we need to get the word out there so that the public learns the truth.
Well, Jack Hubbard, thank you so very much for coming on. And I think it just reinforces the idea that people just need to keep their antenna up and give locally to organizations like this when it comes to pets. Thank you so very much, and good luck to you.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir. Jack Hubbard. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, among other things, we're going to continue a look at how one of the 20th century's greatest political voices, Ayn Rand, predicted America's current political malaise.
Wake up, little Susie, wake up.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop. If you own a home, I bet you're flooded with tree service mailers. So who do you call? ArborLife Tree Service is my choice. When I needed a bunch of trees taken down, they did it safely and at a great price. But ArborLife not only removes trees, they plant trees, they trim them, they prune, they spray, and they fertilize as well. They're ISA certified, they're veteran owned. I'm telling you, you can't go wrong. Call them for a free estimate. 727-330-9000.
1999. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They really will go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on a Monday, and we thank you so very much for being with us. Ed, did you know, with all these things going on here in Washington, did you know that Russia claims that it has downed Ukrainian drones that were targeting Moscow and the Crimea Peninsula? Did you know about that? Did you hear about that?
I did see that there were a couple of drone strikes on Russia.
Yeah.
Inside.
Yeah.
Russia.
Yeah, one targeting Moscow apparently was shot down on the city's outskirts. Two others were suppressed by electronic warfare. I guess what they were able to do was commandeer the stupid drone. Zelensky, following the attacks, Ukrainian President Zelensky warned that, quote, war was coming to Russia. He says, gradually the war is returning to the territory of Russia, to its symbolic centers and military bases, and this is an inevitable, natural, and absolutely fair process. Well, when you got Putin and you got drones hovering around Moscow that might blow up, it scares me a little bit, you know. Start thinking about the N-word, and in this case, I mean nuclear.
He could flip it any time.
Yeah,
he
could.
You don't know. I mean,
I think the guy might be unstable.
He answers to nobody.
Right.
You know, and that's a scary situation.
Yeah. We've got our buddy, speaking about, speaking about somebody that cares what's going on, our eye in the northern sky, Angelo Ceresi, is with us. Angelo, did you know about this drone attack on Moscow?
Yeah, I heard about it, yeah. Hey, all is fair in love and war, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you're right.
I mean, if Russia can attack Ukraine, why can't Ukraine attack them?
You know, I wonder if these days with the pinpoint accuracy of drones and the like, if you can't target something. Well, we know this already because we've done it. Target somebody like a Putin, to go after him like a bullseye.
They should. They should go after him too. I mean, is he going after Zelensky and his people?
I suppose.
And you know, if Putin's complaining about it, too bad.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay for you to go into Ukraine, but you can't go. But Ukraine can't go into you. You know?
Yeah. So what, this morning, what is on your mind? Are you watching with interest the Devin Archer hearings? Of course, they're closed door, so we have to wait to see what results from that. But in the meantime, we got that Delaware prosecutor going after Donald Trump and trying to get more charges on the indictment.
Oh, you got Delaware, you got Atlanta going after him. Everything, you know. I think every time that the government is, that the Congress going after Biden, they're coming up with more charges against Trump.
Do you think that it's not a coincidence? Did you hear about trying to get Devin Archer into the Hooskow?
Oh yeah, that's another thing. They're trying to get him in jail.
They're trying to shut him up, right?
Right. They're trying to shut him up. If that is an intimidation. And Congress doesn't see it. I mean, Congress should go after the DOJ, right? For doing that. I mean, you're tampering with a witness.
You would think so.
I mean, and nobody does anything about it.
Do you think that the walls are closing in so tightly on Joe Biden that he may be forced to drop out of the race?
Well, he gets dropped out of the race, they're still going to go after Trump, you know, no matter what.
Yep.
I mean, the thing is that he's going to stay in there. The Democrats really don't have anybody. They're standing by him, correct?
They're standing by Biden, yes.
And they're going to stand steadfast with that. And they still, their aim is to get Trump on felony charges so that he cannot run. You know, either that or... You know, maybe he will drop. I don't know.
I'm talking about Biden dropping out.
Yeah, about Biden dropping out. Maybe he'll be dropping out.
That's what I'm saying. Well, I'm saying with the walls closing in on Biden with Devin Archer, if Devin Archer, if what we have heard is accurate, Devin Archer has the goods on Joe Biden participating in both personal and over the phone contacts with people in across the ocean, you know, in these in countries like China and Romania and the Ukraine.
Right. I mean, they even have him on tape. Remember when he says, "I'll be an SOB."
Yeah. And son of a B, they fired him, is what he said.
Right. I mean, if that isn't enough for impeachment, I don't know what is.
Well, if he drops out of the race, that takes care of Kamala Harris for them, too, because they don't have to deal with her. Unless she's dumb enough to try to run herself, but I don't know.
Have you guys ever seen anything as bizarre as what we are going through right now?
Every day,
it's the most bizarre thing in my life.
Paul, between the news and the things on the internet, the memes on the internet of Biden, the other day he got off Air Force One. And
did he fall off or he get off?
Well, actually, they give him the wide stairs now. The wider stairs.
And shorter shorter distance to the back of the plane.
Why don't they?
He got off and he took a wrong turn. And he kind of walked out on the tarmac all by himself.
Oh, God, he could walk into the propeller.
I was waiting for one of those silver alerts to come down, you know?
Hey, do you know those things where you sit on the stairway at the top and you come down in a chair? Why don't they have that for him to come out of the airplane? That would be a very nice photo op. He's sitting on the chair, and it slides down that stairway.
And if you notice lately, anytime he's walking around...
And the soldier at the bottom can catch him.
Anytime he's walking around these days, there's somebody standing right next to him. And he's usually holding onto them.
Yeah.
And that goes to show you that the Democrats really don't care about this country.
Oh,
they're so intent on destroying this country. They actually hate America. I mean, the way they keep talking, you know, what's going on, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And the more they keep going after Trump, the more his numbers keep going up.
That's true. I think, you know, people, almost all of us have that thing about when you are stomping on somebody when he's down, that you take his side, that you want to come over to his side. And this is slapping a guy when he's down. You know, they got one charge going. Now they're going to do another charge.
But, Paul, they keep coming up with all these charges.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And nothing sticks.
Right.
Nothing sticks. Right. You had two impeachments that did not
stick. Well, because they're manufacturing.
That's what I know.
They're manufacturing charges. Let's be honest.
I think even the people that did not like Trump the last time he ran are starting to see what's really going on.
I think so, too.
Well, some of them, you know.
Some are never going to, no matter what. They'll never be on Trump's side. Go ahead.
You know, the other day when I was golfing with some friends, you can't talk politics with these guys because they, you know, one guy, he goes, I wanted to show him an ad a friend of mine sent, his name, about a Vietnamese immigrant that came to the United States when he was a young kid. His name is Hung Cao, I think. He's a Republican. He went to Annapolis, graduated from Annapolis, served in the military many years, and he's a retired captain from the United States Navy, combat veteran. And this guy should be running for president, only he's running for Senate. I wanted to show him a thing. He goes, I don't want to see this stuff. I want to talk about Trump. I can't stand Trump. I said, well, what is it that you don't know about him? He said, listen, I'm a Democrat, and that's it. And the thing is, 45% of the population will vote for Biden. 45% will vote for the Republicans, no matter what, right? There is that percentage, 10%, that will decide the election in 2024. And those are the people that have to see what's going on. I hope to God that they see what the Democrats are doing to this country to really change this
election. Well, yeah, the independents, the real independents are going to make the difference.
Right. Because no matter what you say, these people, the Democrats, they really believe that Trump is evil, you know? And 45% of the Republicans actually will vote for Trump,
mm-hmm.
which will always be that way.
And when you ask them, when they say he's evil, and you ask for
why?
Yeah, an example.
Well,
they'll tell you, well, mm-hmm. haven't you seen the news?
Yeah,
that's where they get it from.
Yeah,
right.
Well, they attack his personal characteristics, and let's face it, he's not an altar boy, okay? But
no.
They stay away from what he does and what he would perform and do as president. They can't have an argument against that because he goes in there, and the things that he was doing for the country was working. So
right.
they never. So the guy is this, and he did that. Well, it's. On a personal level, not on a political level.
It's the news.
Well, and
media.
Of course, the media. Well, we
CBS,
know that. Right.
ABC, NBC, Politico, all these media outlets, right? Even remember when Trump went to overseas? What was the publication? The Atlantic or something like that? That said he did this and he did that. He disrespected our troops. This is what has. Turned America. They have turned America into a laughing stock in the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's the media.
Yeah, I agree.
And they have totally, totally destroyed this country. And they destroyed the military by bringing
all
the wokeness.
Yeah, thank God we don't just have the NBCs and ABCs anymore as our only voice or our only messenger. Now we've got all these others, you know, Fox News and some of the One American News and some of the others that are more conservative. And we have the internet and people's opportunity. So maybe the word's getting through. Anyway, it's always a pleasure to have you with us, my friend. Thank you so very much. Keep up your spirit. We're gonna do it. You got it.
Never give up. America always and will always be America,
well,
no matter what.
Absolutely. Thank you, Angelo.
Okay, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Always, always. We appreciate you. All right. We're going to take our break, and I promise you, we are going to talk about Ayn Rand and some of the things that she predicted that indeed have been coming true.
Is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, I'm Paul Molloy, and you are not. And we're back, Freedom Works. By the way, we're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tantalk Radio Network, AM and FM. And we thank you for listening to us. But if you can't listen at 10 to 11 a.m. on Monday, Wednesday, or Friday, thanks to Ed, you can go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, and click on the podcast button at the top. Ed's got all our shows on podcast. Bless him. You'll see the guest. You'll see the top 10. You'll see the guest's topic, everything you want to know. OurFreedomWorks.com. So we were talking last show a little bit about what I believe to be maybe the most important political figure of the 20th century, Ayn Rand, certainly one of them. She was born in Russia in 1905. She moved to the United States at age 21. So she was there for the Russian Revolution. She was about 12 years old when it occurred, old enough to know what was going on. And she wrote two books that have become classics, one, The Fountainhead, and the other, Atlas Shrugged. Both of them were novels, but they tried to explain her idea and belief in her unshakable faith in the individual and a rejection of collectivist ideology. That's what she was really all about. She saw what a collectivist ideology did to her people in Russia. She came up with five ways that America can be saved. Number one, pursue a foreign policy of true American self-interest. Don't get involved in foreign policy. A blind devotion to some supposed higher good beyond what's best for the United States. Number two, reverse the anti-intellectual leftist takeover of academia. She was saying this back in the middle of the 20th century. That's how long, at least, that the takeover by the socialists and the leftists have been going on. She was one of the quickest to identify the systematic leftist takeover of our universities and the destructive consequences for generations of indoctrinated young adults. Well, we've been seeing the results of that. Number three, end partisan warfare caused by political pressure groups dividing the nation. You know, President George Washington himself famously warned of the corrosive nature of party politics in his farewell address in 1796. She says that this is such, we start to lose the real reason for what's going on in Washington, D.C. Number four, restore our faith in a just society. She believed that justice was delivered by the ability of each person to strive objectively for individual achievement. And number five, pursue moral individualism as the antidote to growing and deadly collectivism. She said almost all the great political tragedies in history were born from collectivist ideals. You can use the word socialist if you want in place of collectivist. She said, especially in the deadly 20th century. All right, Ayn Rand. We're going to now go to our top 10, Ed. And real quickly, is there anything in sports we need to know?
The Rays went to Houston for a quick three-game set.
How'd they do?
They won two out of three.
That's good. Houston's a good team, are they not?
Yes, they are.
So are we getting back on track, do you think?
Need more. They're at the Yankees next.
Okay. What are they in second place?
Yes.
Okay. And Baltimore in first?
Yes.
Okay.
Game up. 1.5.
All right. They're close. All right. Time for our top 10, Ed. And as you know, we did the top 10 domestic travel destinations for the summer on our Friday show. Now we're going to do the top 10 international travel destinations for the summer of this year. Here we go. Number 10. Would you like to go to the Dominican Republic, Ed?
No.
Well, it's number 10, Punta Cana, or Punta Cana, Dominican Republic.
It is Punta Cana.
Oh, how do you know? Have you been there?
A lot of friends go there.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, oh,
yeah.
There you go.
It's cheap, that's why.
Oh, well, that's a good reason.
Well, inexpensive, as you want to.
Yeah. It's connected to Haiti.
Yes.
Okay. Number 9. I know about this place because my sister has gone there, Los Cabos, Mexico. Mm-hmm. It's on the peninsula.
Okay.
Yeah. It's on the whatever you call that peninsula that hangs down.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Number 8. Athens, Greece.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. You can go and you can see the Acropolis.
Yeah.
And all kinds of ruins. Everything's kind of wrecked, but they were the great culture at one time. Number 7. Hey Ed, have you been to Montego Bay, Jamaica?
No.
Okay. Well, it's number 7. And there was a time when people were warned not to go there because of the crime. Remember that?
That's a bad gang
problem. Is it still got that, do you think?
Well, when you get, there's a certain area you're supposed to stay in.
Yeah.
You know, don't venture outside of
that. Well, you can say that about any place you go in the Caribbean.
Yep.
Number six, Amsterdam. Used to be the drug capital of the world, Amsterdam in the Netherlands. Apparently, there's lots to see, though. Number five, Tokyo. Now, that would be an interesting place to go. Tokyo, Japan.
Too many people jammed in a little spot.
Well, that's true. That's true. Remember, there's millions of people on that little island.
So packed there, you got to sleep standing up.
That's true. Maybe that's why they're so short. Yeah. If they could sleep in a prone position, they could grow more. Okay. Number four, Rome. Well, we know about Rome, the center of religion, Christianity, right?
Yep.
Go see Michelangelo's Sistine Chapel paintings. Number three, come with me to the Casbah, Paris. Yeah, Paris, France. That's one place I do want to go if I get a chance. Paris, France. Number two, Cancun, Mexico.
Yeah, that's another inexpensive place to go.
Yeah, lots of boat trips there, right?
Yeah, I was going to say a lot of cruise ships stop there. Yeah. That's usually always on everybody's list.
Have you been there?
I have, yeah. That's another place where you kind of stay in the designated area.
Yeah.
It's not wise to go outside that
area.
Is
it true about not drinking the water?
You know, they told us even when you're brushing your teeth, you use the bottled water.
Yeah.
I don't think we stayed on the boat, you know, and then went to town or whatever, and whatever it was,
you could buy the rum and all that stuff, but don't drink the water,
well,
right?
Well, we drank beer, so it was in a bottle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right, Ed. Of all the places in the world, what do you think is the number one travel destination this summer for tourists?
I'm still going to stick with Hawaii. I don't know why.
Well, we did Hawaii.
I know.
You want to try anybody else?
But that could still be a worldwide, even though it's domestic.
Well, it's London, England. Good old London, England. I've been there.
It's cold. There's people have an attitude.
It never gets real cold there.
I know. It's always raining.
Yeah, it's kind of like Seattle.
Cold.
It's kind of Seattle-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's it, my friends. Thank you very much for listening. We will be back on Wednesday. In the meantime, be good. And remember, freedom works.
You fill up my senses like night in a forest.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour.